Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Exodexa, Dr. Leah Haynes, founding board member and education advisor at Exodexa, and Nolan Bushnell, co-founder and chairman of the board. Welcome both. How's things?
I'm great. Love to talk about education and how we're going to change the world.
So it was a good start, yeah. So obviously we spoke to you last time, and the company was previously known as LearnIp, and obviously now Exodexa. And apologies if I got this wrong, but I took this from the website because it's always a good starting point for any research. But imagine a world where every child received a state-of-the-art education, innovation would flourish, untapped potential would be realized, and schools would transform into idea incubators. With Exodexa's platform and technology, this future could be achieved at a lower cost. Successful people are problem solvers who think creatively and aren't afraid to experiment. The future of education is adaptable, learner-centered, and focused on developing problem-solving skills rather than just producing graduates. We envision a world where the artist is the rule, not the exception. Do you think that describes the philosophy and mantra of Exodexa pretty well?
I believe that the educational traditional establishment is massively flawed, just a ginormous amount of time wasting, and that almost every industry that has been able to survive has fully adopted technology. School systems haven't. If anything, it's sort of pasted on at the back of the room. Classrooms are inefficient. They're noisy. They're disruptive. They waste a lot of time. And it's one size does not fit all. I like to say half the class is lost and the half of the class is bored. What you really want to be able to do is individualized education. Are 30 kids in a classroom a good idea? Of course not. How about 15? Better. Still pretty bad. How about reductio ad absurdum and we go to one? That's the right way to do it. And don't have kids compete with each other. Have them compete with themselves. Be their own personal best. Keep their enthusiasm. Keep their curiosity at the same time. I believe that we can teach 4 years of high school in 6 months. All 4 years. That's how inefficient today's school is. And so what do you do to fill that time? Everybody should learn how to do a podcast. Everybody should publish a short story on Amazon. Everybody should know how to program in Unity so that they can do an app for their cell phone. Why not know a little bit of botany and biology? Mathematics is great, but computer programming is probably more appropriate. These are all skills that right now you can take an eighth grader and teach them Unity, and in 2 weeks they can build an app for the iPhone. Now that's cool. Yeah. Everybody should be able to do that, you know?
And now, it's a side income for those kids as well. While they're in school, they're also able, they have skill set mm-hmm. that can help them generate revenue.
Sure. Exactly.
You know, the other thing, when Nolan mentioned earlier, the technology in schools, like we have a real issue with finding teachers because young people are graduating from university, high-tech natives, they're digital natives, and we're asking them to step back 20 years and use an archaic system that just isn't. The other thing that individualized learning offers, and we don't talk about it a lot, but I think it's a significant benefit. Early humiliation in most kids' lives starts in the classroom. I can't read as fast as they can. I get nervous when all of these things. Individualized education takes all that out of the picture. Kids can work at their own pace. Also, the technology now allows for this to be a benefit to the teacher. You know, 20 years ago, the teacher would have had to design and grade, you know, multiple groups of ideas. And now there are platforms that will allow for this exploration. And the teacher, we still need the teacher in the room. The teacher has a different role. They're the mentor and the guide. And getting our programs into the schools, what we need is teacher buy-in. And, you know, when Nolan mentioned that we'd been pretty effective at getting into LAUSD schools, 260 plus schools with a makerspace that we built and put in the school. And now we do ongoing work with those schools. But we're in about half of LAUSD schools with our programs, and all of it through from teacher to teacher, as opposed to administration or the district buying in. And that way you get the teachers' unions involved. So With ExoDexa, the idea is to go first to families and to kids. And there are educational games out there, but they are not going to fool the kids. They are educational games. They are not games that the kids want to play on a Saturday. Our goal is to make these games so engaging that the kids want to play them and build communities within the games. They're still interested in doing it on the weekend. But from there, parent and, and student support to get it to the teachers. And then once you have the teachers engaged, and we'll use a community of some of our schools in LAUSD to test the product out. So we'll give it to them for a year in exchange for research on the efficacy. And I'm excited about what it can mean, because things get stopped when you try to go in through the district and have it trickle down. Most of the administration know that the safest thing to say is no, because there's no risk. If you don't do anything new, there's no risk, which is why, you know, we have 14 versions of an iPhone and we're still using the same version of education that we started 100 years ago.
Yeah, no, education is broken in a big way. I mean, I studied to be an international teacher. I actually live in Cairo. So I studied to be an international teacher, and none of the systems, whether the American, UK, IB is the closest, international baccalaureate is the closest. And that ultimately came from Montessori teaching, which is individualized for each child, which is the homeschool that we now run and have with our own kids. So I'm very interested in this from a technology point of view, that we can, I mean, we already do it. The children have lessons in Chinese from a Chinese teacher online. They also do the same with Spanish. With art, it's different. We bring somebody in. But I'm really interested now, because they're still going to have to try and fit into this stupid box, which is education in the world, which says I need this certificate to say I'm intelligent. So how are they going to be able to use that and increase their knowledge? But more importantly for me, their intelligence and their use of the intelligence, the knowledge, not the knowledge itself. How is your system going to allow the children to think about their intelligence and not just accumulate knowledge?
Well, in part, we will bury all of the tests that kids need to take in the games that they're playing. So we know when they get to level 6 in the game that they're algebra ready. And I think, you know, long term, we plan to give certificate of completion. And I don't know how long it takes to get the school system to adapt to it, but that is the goal.
I think maybe never is the reality. I mean, that's my view on it. Then it becomes parent-led, doesn't it? It then becomes, okay, as a parent, are we willing to accept that they don't get that certificate, but they get this certificate? I don't know. Me as a parent, I'm willing to accept that, but there's many people not willing to accept that. But I think we're going to have to break that system. I don't mean break the education system as a whole, but break the system that we're not just going to accept people because they get this school education.
Well, I'll tell you, it's not whether the parents will accept it. It's whether Google will accept it when they're hiring. And all of a sudden, that becomes the definitive. And all we have to do is prove efficacy. And the private enterprise who's looking for capable people, using that as a benchmark, it'll be trivial. And so, you know, all we have to do is actually be effective. If we're actually effective, the world will figure that out really fast. And that our certificate will, in fact, become the gold standard. It'll become more valuable than what is currently considered to be best a cipher for what the kids are doing.
Well, do you see it going all the way up to sort of SAT level, that you can do this, have a SAT certificate or have a whatever you want to call it certificate, and then basically that will be college entry, and maybe they have to take a college test then to go into universities? Or are we going to create an online university as well? I mean, that's already happening anyway, isn't it, in the US? But are we going to do that?
Well, no,
I would like to. Yes.
Yeah, and I was going to say, when Nolan and I started working on the book together, Nolan sent me all of the ideas that he'd written down. And one of the things that really stood out is what you're asking about, a way of addressing what the student has learned by category. So how many math games have they gone through? How many geography games have they gone through? What is their expertise? So that when they get it, when we give a certificate that says you've completed your 12th grade requirements, you would know more than just that. You would know what their proficiency is in every discipline. So if you're looking for someone who's a great writer and who really understands international geography, you know, oh, this is a candidate. And also, just to address the second part of your question, we are looking at charter school in the US to test out all of what we're talking about, and then moving, you know, above that with K-12 and college.
Very good. And then the final dream part, Nolan, would be some sort of virtual reality involved in this, so that actually you can go on those field trips that maybe the kids can't afford, or that, you know, that there isn't just the organizational ability to do it. Did you think about that, or is that just pie in the sky?
No, it's a little bit pie in the sky, but totally doable and pretty effective. I learned a lot on the field trips that I went on, you know, whether it be to a canning factory or a steel mill. Pretty exciting stuff. And all of these things actually come from the video game side of the world. I mean, there's a couple of video games that are so realistic in terms of being in the bowels of the industrial process that it's really fun. And we're going to incorporate some of the educational games. I don't know if you remember Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? That was a pretty good game when it came to geography and what have you. And kids loved it. The Incredible Machine, where you were building items to save the mouse, you know, as it was seeking cheese. These are all games that are proven effective. And we are going to be unabashed in imitating what worked and inventing stuff that that we will then test. Efficacy and merit is our watchword, and that's what we're going to do.
Okay, great. So let's just go on to the business side of things first. I mean, obviously, a lot of the people who are going to be listening to this were also involved in the pre-IPO. So just take us on the journey that has happened since then, and let them understand where you are now and where you plan to be in the next number of months.
I'll take that in that we've taken a little bit of pause until we get this money raised. Right now, we have a team that consists of primarily contractors. We have a full syllabus of 9th and 10th grade STEM subjects. We will be moving that to junior and senior year, probably by the end of 2023, so that we will have 4 years of high school completed by the end of the year, which should give us a target opportunity of somewhere between 16 and 20 million people, kids. We will have plans in place or programs in place for charter schools, regular schools, teacher incentive programs, as well as we will have established our customer acquisition costs and find out effectively how much our customer acquisition cost is going to be. And to push that, we're hoping for somewhere around 50 to 100,000 students by the end of the year, each of them having a lifetime value of somewhere over $200. That's kind of our dream mathematics. I think that if we can accomplish that, that will set us up for a massive business in 2024.
Okay, Nolan, how much money do you expect to raise this time around?
We expect on the IPO to raise somewhere between 10 and 15 million bucks. We probably only really need 5, but if we can get the 10 or 15, we can really pour gas on the fire.
But you need money now? That's what you were saying, or not?
We've got some commitments for our money now, but we could always use a little bit more now than we have. And so we're going to be rocking that in the next couple of weeks.
And how much are you hoping to raise in that situation?
$500,000 in the pre-IPO.
Okay. And how much did you raise in the previous pre-IPO? Do you remember?
About $750,000. I mean, it wasn't a pre-IPO. It was our launch money a year ago.
Okay. Is there any upgrade in the price from the launch money to the pre-IPO?
The pre-IPO money is pretty much at parity. There will be a big jump once we go on the public market price.
Okay, so you're raising money basically at the same price that you raised previously, and that's going to see you through to the IPO, you hope?
That's correct.
When can you envisage that the IPO will happen?
We're hoping it's going to be late April, early May.
Of next year?
This year, very soon.
Okay.
We have the S-1 already done, and we don't expect to have a lot of comments from the SEC. So as soon as we get that, we rock and roll.
Okay. And you, as you said, you have to raise $5 million, but you'd like to raise more.
Correct.
Okay. And at what level do you expect that to be above the Pluto IPO at?
The market changes day to day, and I would be very hesitant to predict, but I would really think that we could probably do a 2 to 3X of what the current level is. It's just the nature of what an IPO does. Once you get liquidity, the value of the company jumps precipitously.
So what sort of valuation then is the company likely to IPO at? Are we talking about how many million dollars is the likelihood?
If I told you, I'd have to kill you.
It's okay. Like we just interviewed a guy who's going to keep me alive for a lot longer, so you can still tell me. It's okay.
Yeah, longevity products, and then we come into
longevity products first, and then Nolan's going to kill me. So you know, I'll take my chances. Nolan, go.
No, it's just one of those things that predicting the future when it comes to stock market is a fool's errand. And though I love you dearly, I'm not going to be
tricked. You don't love me dearly. You don't even know who I am, but I accept what you're saying.
Okay.
Are we talking $50 million? Are we talking $100 million? Are we talking $10 million? I mean, even a ballpark.
We're talking all those numbers. Okay. Nobody's believing.
All of the above.
Of the above and again. Okay, no problems. Well, listen, I think, you know, the story is great. The story hasn't changed really, other than the fact that I think now you're very much focusing on the US system, which I think is where the opportunity lies.
There's another big difference now. Leah is, and she is so much smarter than what we had before. And so I can tell you right now that we had a systematic upgrade when Leah decided to come in and be the major domo.
Thank you.
Praise indeed.
Well, and I don't often say this in front of Nolan, but I Nolan changed the world when he introduced us to video games. And I am fully convinced that he is poised to do the same thing now in education.
Very good. I was actually going to, with him being online, I was thinking I was going to broach the subject of Pong and everything, you know, the invention in 1972, Nolan, while you're on it. What did you ever think that creating such a, what is a simple, what looks now to be a simplistic game would be so, let's say, addictive to people and such a game changer for the gaming world?
You know,
pun intended.
I was so immersed in the technology at the time. I just didn't have time to think expansively.
Yeah.
One of the things I want to point out is that we've got kind of a secret weapon that no other IPO or company has. And that is we've got a book that's done, fully edited, published. I mean, it hasn't hit the market yet because we're holding it off. But we actually believe the book, if I will say, quite well written and definitive. It's also a manifesto. And I believe that people who buy the stock will buy the book. People who buy the book will buy the stock. And both will subscribe to our offering. And I think that there will be parents who read the book who will get their kids involved. There will be grandparents who read the book who will get their grandkids involved. As a marketing tool, a manifesto book that is, it's actually pretty readable. Everybody that we've given it to said, hey, you know, that's interesting thing. So rather than a whiny book, it's not whiny at all. You know, there's a lot of books that just talk about how rotten things are. But this book is how we fix things that are just smelly. And as a result, it's a optimistic, uplifting book about the world that can be. Is it science fiction? A little bit, not really, but it's something that can be done, but is different. And I think that has power.
And ultimately, it levels the playing field.
Yeah.
But the rich and privileged will not necessarily get that wonderful education that we have to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for. Everybody will get it.
Yeah.
Now that will make a difference to society that we can never understand, I think, in the future.
Yeah,
that is so true. And we've talked about, you know, the philanthropic side of what we do as well, making it available to Ukraine, for example, making it available to Turkey, where there's a disaster, something that's a distraction once we're up and running, finding ways to make that possible is one of our goals.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. So Nolan, is it possible for people to participate in your current IPO then? Mr. Beeston collecting money for you if required, or does it have to come stateside?
Anybody that's interested in becoming part of this journey, we'll figure out a way to make them, to allow them to be part of this on a very favorable thing. If they just, you know, send me an email with what they would like to do, I'll figure out a way.
And I think Adrian is reaching out to folks locally. It's not all stateside, the pre-IPO.
Okay, good. Well, if anybody's interested in that, then you can contact us and we'll put you in touch with Adrian Beeston. So, yeah, no problems.
Well, no, you say Dr. Leah Haynes and Nolan Bushnell of Exadexa. Thanks very much for your time.
My great fun, guys. You know, and let's change the world.
I was going to say the same words, Noel. Either fools seldom differ or, you know, go change the world, guys. Go change the world. And then I won't have to set up a small school for my children here, which is what I've had to do.
Exactly. I mean, if we change the world and make everybody rich, we'll have more people to party with.
Yeah. Now, that's never going to happen. As in, everybody's rich. Not going to happen. But okay. Education, well, yes.
Maybe we can say everybody's richer. Would you go with me on that?
Yeah. Everybody's more educated. That would
which
be
is
good.
A rich, which is as good as money, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, there's the old Chinese proverb: "The happy man is not he with much wealth, but he with few wants."
There you go.
That's good.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.